You're listening to Money Never Sleeps Radio. In your face.
What we got here is a failure to communicate.
Oh, have I got your attention now?
Greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
You know what I mean?
Money to be made in a place like this.
Money never sleeps, pal.
You're crazy. Don't run when you lose. Don't whine when it hurts.
You know what it takes to sell real estate?
It takes brass.
I'm falling, and I can't get up.
All right, welcome to Money Never Sleeps. This is the show where we talk about anything and everything that impacts the flow of money from around the corner to around the world. And over the past few episodes, I've been speaking about digital assets, blockchain, digital asset treasuries, and the like. Today's going to be really no different. The bottom line is the future of finance lies in blockchain and tokenization. This is what you're going to see more and more of as we move forward going into 2026. You know, I don't care if it's centralized or decentralized, you're going to see tokenization across traditional, TradFi, DeFi. It's going to be across the board, right? You know, tokenization is the future of financial markets, period, the end. You have the NASDAQ, New York Stock Exchange, they're contemplating tokenizing stocks. That happens. I mean, people will have 24/7 access to these stocks. I mean, it can change the whole trajectory of the entire financial, global financial markets. All right. Once it happens in the United States, it will start happening all over the world. And right now, you have certain groups that are doing that. And there's no question that this is going to happen. It is the future of financial markets. I believe blockchain is the future of a lot of things. I think blockchain could be integrated into a lot of things. I think there's such extreme value there that people are focused on artificial intelligence, and that's fine. That's also part of the future, right? But that's not the only thing. That's a shiny new object there, and everybody's running to it. It's similar to when blockchain in the late, what was it, in 2017 or something like that, or 2018, when you had blockchain was the buzzword. And you had companies all over the place going and changing the position of their company and say, okay, yeah, we make pet rocks, but now we're a blockchain company. Oh, we make iced tea. We're a Long Island iced tea company. Well, now we're going to be a blockchain company. Okay, and it brings a lot of false information to the public when that happens. You know, you have really bad actors that do things like that. They're shady characters. So you have to watch out when you see companies like that doing that and flipping their direction. If you have a core business and that's what you do and you're going to change how you do things, don't do it because, oh my God, AI, I'm going to be ABC instead of ABC printing. I'm going to be ABC AI. All right, and because you're going to attract the investor attention. Problem is that if you don't deliver, you got a big problem there, right? And you're going to see you're going to see that happening to companies. But you have the future in blockchain technology, the future in AI. Just as investors, as you're looking around, I don't care if it's a public or private company, just make sure that they have their things in order. You have a lot of companies, you know, startups that come out. They shoot out some fancy decks and investor decks trying to raise capital. And you have venture capital firms that'll go out there and go and fund these projects because they'll just keep doing it even if it doesn't make any sense, because they have that FOMO, fear of missing out of the next big thing. But the reality is, if you're smart and you're having conversations with companies that can actually build up, then you could be a part of the next big thing, right? And you have to be vigilant when you're looking at companies in these spaces. You have companies out there that focus solely on Bitcoin mining. Now all of a sudden they're looking to take their data centers. Hey, you know what? We're going to switch to AI. Okay, you know, it's not that easy of a switch. It's pretty costly, But investors get excited because they figure, oh, we're going to be ahead of the curve. You know, reality is, you know, AI to start turning profits, it's going to take at least a decade. So be prepared to strap yourselves in for a while. And if you're in your 70s, 80s, you know, well, just look at something that's more short term, right? And a little more, maybe look at some treasuries or bonds, muni bonds and the like, for that income. Anyway, let's go over tokenization. We're going to see this, you know, across traditional asset classes, as I mentioned. Equity tokens, you know, they're going to represent, and again, this is happening, right? The tokens, they're going to represent the stock, the shares in public or even private companies for that matter. And it's going to enable fractional ownership and global access. What that means is that you can, you know, because of the how the decimals go in digital assets, you know, you can go 8, 10, 15 decimal points. So you can have fractional ownership in a share of stock. Let's say you have, not that this is going to happen, but it may happen. Let's say Berkshire Hathaway, right? They're tokenized. They're on the New York. It's tokenized. You can own a fraction of that. You don't have to own a full share. You can own a fraction of that share. And that's what democratizes things, because now you're talking about global inclusion. And that's a key thing, because when stocks go way, 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 way high, it's out of the price range of the average person. And that needs to change somewhat. And fractional ownership does help that. The global access with equity tokens is that, hey, if you're in another country and these equity tokens are trading on an exchange, maybe on a Coinbase or a Binance or a decentralized exchange or whatever the case may be, then all of a sudden they can actually buy it and participate in the global market. And that makes things interesting, right? The next asset class, debt tokens. I've spoken a lot about this, about perpetual digital credit note tokens, PDCNs, and how they can be utilized. Because PDCNs themselves, they have a unique feature there, that there is an automatic yield that gets kicked out every hour on the hour. You know, so for those that hold those type of tokens, they don't have to wait the month, 3 months, the quarterly, whatever it is, whenever that distribution happens. They don't have to wait until that time to see in their wallet to see that they're generating yield. You know, so, you know, these digital bonds, you know, you can, you know, the tokenization of bonds, loans, and other credit instruments is going to be, it hasn't gotten there yet, but it's going to be. Trust me on that, because the utilization of perpetual digital credit note tokens can go across bonds, loans, you know, private credit and the like, you know, for programmable yield and secondary trading. Because if you have these PDCNs trading elsewhere, guess what? You can have someone, again, in another country. Okay, they can be in Europe, they can be in Zimbabwe for that matter. They have it, they're getting a yield. They hold it for a month, they get the yield, they can sell it. Then all of a sudden, they have that yield. They don't have to wait, they're not missing out. They don't have to wait till the end of the quarter or semi-annually or even annually to participate and get that yield. All right, now, real estate. Well, I mean, that's been the big talk for many years. Real estate, it hasn't ramped up the way they hoped, because there are a lot of factors involved with real estate. You can't, it's hard to have one unified approach to it. So you're not going to have one token that goes across everything. You know, each real estate token is like having an equity token. So it represents that particular property. You can have a company that has 100 different buildings and they have a token for each building. And or maybe they have a token for the actual, you know, the condo in there or whatever, however they set it up. It can get a little hairy, right? So you have to be careful about that. You need to know what you're getting involved with. Fractional property ownership seems like a great idea. It could be a great idea. It all depends on how it's structured, you know, because at the end of the day, if the issuer isn't experienced with this, you know, they can screw it all up and it's going to hurt investors. So, you know, you need to make sure that they have their duckies in order, that they know what they're doing. And that's the reality of it. They need to be able to do that. Now, commodity tokens, do I think this is coming? I think it's going to come. And I think it's going to come in a big way. You have contracts that are out there, you know, and they trade, and the derivatives market is going to continue to be tokenized and expand, and this is what makes things very, very interesting in this space, you know, gold, oil, you know, coal, whatever the case may be, you know, corn for that matter, wheat, whatever, you know, the tokenization process can be there for derivatives, especially if done the right way. And people, I guess the investing community, they've seen this part with, I believe it's Hyperliquid. They did it. They have a decentralized derivative market, which is really interesting. Hootex as well. They have a decentralized derivative market that is going to be, you know, hitting the market soon. And that is going to be interesting within itself, because if you have something that's decentralized, that means you have a token that can go and trade elsewhere. Now, how it works on Hyperliquid as far as going and moving it around, I believe that they're going to start getting further into the institutional part of it. And that's where they're going to shine. Hootex as well, the institutional part of it, but also on the retail end, you know, is decentralized. So there's a front end and a back end, and people are going to be able to get involved in a lot of different ways. And because with Hootex, you have a fixed API, which allows institutions to actually get things done. And because that is built on with the Piku Novus blockchain, as the Piku Novus blockchain expands, by default, is going to expand Hootex and vice versa. So it's going to be a very, very, very interesting next 12 months. Now, tokenization further. Alternative and emerging assets, right? This, we've seen this with NFTs, with arts and collectibles, and so on and so forth. I haven't seen it too much utilized in intellectual property, and hopefully that's going to change. You know, because again, these are tricky areas to go and manage and to be able to get it done right. And you're not, and even though you have, you know, certain blockchains that say we are, this is what we do, and this is what, you know, we're the top in this, or we are the only place to do this. That's a whole load of crap, because you have blockchains that can be utilized if developed the right way for mostly anything. So with that, I think it's going to be more on a legal front, you know, because if you're talking about royalties, patents, licensings, and so on and so forth, I think that's going to integrate the legal community a lot more. I've seen, you know, tokenization and carbon credits. Now, again, that that is a hit or miss, you know, because you have to verify. I mean, these have to, you know, be verified, right? You know, you can tokenize carbon credits if you're verifying them with a legal source and you're able to do that. OK, and you can also, you know, probably have ESG reporting and all that other stuff. But I think that is a niche area. And I think that, you know, the tokenization of it is one thing. But my concern is the proof of it. You know, decentralized finance is supposed to be a trustless environment. Here, how does it remain trustless? There has to be a way, legally, that these carbon credits can be verified. And if you can't verify them, what do you do? What do you do? And this can also, you know, trickle. And this is going to be interesting when it trickles down to mineral rights. That is definitely, it'll work similar to carbon credits, but I think it's an easier deal, because now if you have a feasibility study and you know what's going on, you can actually do it better. Now, if it's just a guesstimation and you're looking at the value of the land or whatever, maybe you can, you know, tokenize these claims and revenue flows, you know, from mining projects. It all depends on how that's going to be done. But again, that's not you're not going to have a structure that is meant for everyone. You'll have a lot of different avenues there that you'll be going to get that type of thing done. Again, possible. Possible. And I think that the mining companies that do that, they're going to benefit tremendously if they do it right. Right? Now, again, you know, with tokenization, blockchain itself, it's going to be integrated into the financial infrastructure of a lot of things. You know, what I see happening is that, you know, how you have mutual funds now and everything at ETFs, I think you can have tokenized funds, you know, and just, you know, they're going to represent mutual funds, ETFs or hedge funds and things of that nature. What's happening now, and again, I go back to Hootex because you have DBTs, those are digital basket tokens. And those tokens, they work kind of like an ETF, but everything is transparent as far as, you know, what's being held in that account is made public so people can see it. Minute by minute value, things go up, down if you're not doing it properly, and basically the world can see it. There's no hiding from that. You know, you see the exact value of the account no matter what. So there's no hiding that. You know, right now, ETFs, they have to report, right? So you have to report all this stuff. You know, with DBTs, you know, if they integrate, if they take DBTs and they kind of utilize them for ETFs and the like, that can be a very interesting dynamic, especially if everything is public, right? And if you're able to go and have a, you know, if it's decentralized, you control it. If you have a centralized custodian and they are controlling, you know, those assets for them to be shown publicly, then that can be interesting. You know, I already went over the derivatives. Okay, I think that, again, there's going to be a lot of activity there. Those perps are going to be killer, meaning that you're going to see more and more of that stuff coming out. Stable coins, you know, USDT, USDC, you have Ripple's a stable coin, you have USXM, you have PayPal, you have all these things going on. Actually, what happened recently? PayPal, you know, their issuer issued 300 trillion by mistake. That's a big error. Impossible. That would be, you know, three, four times what's out in the world, period. You know, so that, mistakes like this can't happen. You know, the fat finger excuse is not an excuse when you're doing this stuff. You know, and that becomes scary, you know, because if something like that can happen and it just goes out there, you're disrupting markets in a big way, in a big, big way. But stable coins is going to be a bigger rise. There's more to come here. You know, you're going to have, you know, payment solutions and things like that, cross-border payments. You know, XRP, they're the blockchain, but Ripple has been in this game, and they've been doing this. They do it well. They know exactly how they want to go about doing this. You know, I think that the issue with that has always been the blockchain. That always brought things into question of how that was done. But trust me, it does not overshadow what they're doing in the digital asset space. It's pretty amazing. I think that also you can have payment portals that are going to allow for all types of cross-border transactions, and you can even have audit trails. Everything's on the blockchain, right? So as long as it's a public blockchain, you can see stuff. Private blockchains like you're going to have with JP Morgan and the like. How much they're going to get out there, we don't know. But I think that with any blockchain, one of the key components of it is the open source being out. So you can see what's going on. You know, it has nothing to do with, let's say, with Bitcoin's open source, people building on it. They're not letting out that code because they're doing things specifically, you know, to build with Bitcoin for them to build a business. So they're not going to give you their secret sauce on that. However, you know, the blockchain itself, the core blockchain and other bridges and everything should be open source so that, you know, more people can get involved. And then that's a key thing. You can look on GitHub for any of these blockchains to find out, you know, who's open source and who's not. You know, I know that Hyperliquid is not open source. Okay, so it's a private blockchain, pretty much. Maybe at some point they will be public. We don't know. But, you know, again, doesn't negate the things that they're doing. Same thing with Piku Novus. It's, well, not the same thing. It's a different thing, right? Piku Novus is open source. Piku Novus has a lot of growth there, has a lot of things going on. Okay, you have Hootex that are building a lot of things, and other groups are building financial products on it. And that is going, in my opinion, that's going to be the next coming of things. You know, you have, again, Ethereum and Solana, they're doing their thing. And again, growth all around, and it's going to be an interesting next 12 months. All right, now, the key thing with tokenization, whether it's stocks, bonds, or just, you know, digital assets and native blockchain tokens, is investor access, right? Because if you have a token, it's globally accessible, right? You know, you have lower barriers to entry for a retail investor in, again, in Timbuktu, that they want to go and benefit. They want to benefit from the growth of it. Maybe they want some yield from a PDCN. Maybe they want to own Apple, a fraction of an Apple share. Tokenization does it. All right, now look at the proxy. Okay, when the proxy votes go on with companies, with publicly traded companies, it's a whole process. I mean, you know how many trees they have to cut down to send all those papers out to people? It is ridiculous. And the companies that do this, you know, granted, they're trusted to do it, but, you know, let's say a Bank of America, Bank of New York, or other institutions that are printing all these papers, they can eliminate all that simply by having proxy tokens that represent the voting rights and a corporate governance structure, right? They can do that. You have the tokenized stock. Well, that comes with it voting rights. End of story. They'll be able to do everything online. Granted, some people like the paper, right? You know, so, you have to have a workaround for that. But I think this can eliminate a lot of waste. It can eliminate the companies that are doing this because, again, if you're a print shop and you're printing out these proxies and everything else like that, you know, it's keeping you in business. But, you know, you should elevate your game to injecting digital into what you're doing, because that is the future. Don't mean to offend anyone if you're listening to this, but that's the way I feel. Now, with the injection into into financial infrastructure, you know, look at the staking mechanics, right? You know, if an investor, if they have the ability to go and get involved in a token that may represent a bond or something, again, they can get incentivized by having that yield. And especially if that yield can show up in their account at an hour by hour, and in their wallet, sorry, on an hour by hour basis. Or let's say if a PDCN is being held at a centralized custodian, and they align with what Hootex is doing, which they can, you know, you have the fixed APIs there, they can go do something, and they're able to show that in the account at that brokerage firm, at that financial institution, and have this happen, you know, automatically without them having to do anything, and the investor sees this. Wow, you know, that's a big thing, and I think that's going to come. That's definitely going to come, and it's going to be an interesting thing. Now, again, there are a lot of different things that are going to transpire with tokenization, payments, banking, you know, trading, you know, we see it now. You have the Coinbase, the Binance, the Kraken, you know, crypto.com, this, that, everything else. You have Hootex, you have, you know, you have PancakeSwap, you have this swap, that swap, you have all this stuff going on. And the bottom line is, this is the future. You're going to see this integration. It's happening now. You have Polymarket, the predictive markets. They're being integrated. They have a $2 billion, you know, investment line, okay, from ICE, from the international Continental Exchange, right? Intercontinental Exchange. they own the New York Stock Exchange. They own this stuff. So basically, it's injecting that right into the story. And then even today, what happened with Polymarket and Kalshi, they made a deal with the National Hockey League to do some things there. So, you know, all these innovative products are coming out, and it's going to continue to push the tokenization of everything. Of everything, because at the end of the day, it's about having access. It's about having self-custody. It's about having the ability to go and have a fraction of something and move things around the world. And again, this is the future of things, right? I think that we're going to see a lot more of this. You're going to hear more about tokenization, you know, being the future of finance. I've been a big advocate of this and this whole space for a very long time. And again, this is the future. Zero question about it. The old ways of doing things are going to merge with the new way of doing things. You know, it's the equivalent of, you know, you know, when Henry Ford, when he got involved and he wanted to create a better car, a car for all men, for all people, for the average guy, right, the average woman. So he wanted to do that. He didn't invent the automobile, but he did do it. He used that technology and he did it. Okay, when he wanted to, and this is innovation, right? He wanted to go create an 8-cylinder engine to make cars go fast and so on and so forth. His engineers said, it's impossible, can't be done, no way, no how, we can't do it. Then he got a couple of engineers that said, we'll give it a shot, but we'll try to get it done. Well, how many cars have 6, 8, 12 cylinders now? Because he believed it was possible. The same way with tokenization. You know, I believe, and many other people believe, that this is happening. It's not about the possibility, it's about the facts that it's happening. And there's nothing that we really can do to stop it. All we can do is embrace it and really help it along its way and be a part of what is going to be the next iteration of the financial markets. Okay, I want to thank everyone for tuning in. That's it for this episode of Money Never Sleeps. And I'll be back with you with another episode. And again, I'll be talking about digital assets, digital asset treasury, tokenization, and what's going on in the financial markets as it relates to tokenization, because I think this topic needs to keep on going, and I want to go and share this with the world as much as possible, all right? But anyway, until next time, I want you guys to have a fantastic and profitable trading day, and we will be back with you with another episode of Money Never Sleeps.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
You're listening to UCW Radio, in your face.
What is your major malfunction?
So let it be written. So let it be done.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you.
The views and opinions expressed on Money Never Sleeps Radio are for informational purposes only and should not be construed as financial advice. The host Louis Velazquez and guests of Money Never Sleeps Radio are not licensed financial advisors, and any investment decisions made based on information presented in this podcast are at the listener's own risk. Listeners are encouraged to consult with a qualified financial advisor or investment professional before making any investment decisions. The podcast hosts and guests do not endorse or recommend any specific investment strategies or products. All investments involve risk, and past performance is not indicative of future results.